In addition to being a famous soloist and outstanding chamber musician, Eugenia Zuckerman was for 13 years the artistic director of the Bravo Vale Valley Music Festival. Prior to that, Zuckerman interviewed and created more than 300 portraits as the arts correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. She has performed as a soloist with many of the world's finest orchestras. She is currently the artistic director of Clarion Concerts in Hudson, New York, and Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The Clarion Concerts Leaf Peeper Series takes place September 15th and 21st, October 12th and 26th. She's also the author of the forthcoming book, Like Falling Through a Cloud, about her experience of the early stages of Alzheimer's disease, with which she has been diagnosed. She is here to tell us about her work, and we also welcome Dave Hall, president of Clarion's Board of Directors, to the program as well. Good morning to you both. Thank you very much. What a delight to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, let us begin. We're going to talk. I should mention that Dave is with us on phone. Eugenia is here in the studio, and we're thrilled to see you again. Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
So tell us about this particular season and what this has been like to put together.
Well, I think that we decided for this season we wanted to change up what we had been doing and reach out and try some things that we hadn't done before. And we have an extraordinary group of players. We're starting out with Xavier Foley, who's an incredible double bassist and composer, and we commissioned a work from him. And he's a man who's at least 7 feet tall and plays the double bass so beautifully. And that will be the first concert, September the 15th. And then the second concert is on September 21st, and that's with the Manhattan Piano Trio. I'll be joining them for that concert with the music of Doppler, Dvorak, and Mendelssohn. And then an extraordinary accordionist who is quite petite, Hans-Ji Wang, who plays the accordion and makes it sound like a violin. Mm. She is beautiful, and when she plays the accordion, you can't believe this tiny person can make those sounds. And she's going to play the music of Bach, Scarlatti, Rameau, Schnittke, and Grieg. And then for the final concert, this will be something quite extraordinary. It is a solo opera called Science Fair. It's an opera with experiments, including arias and real-life scientific experiments on stage. And so this is kind of the type of music that we haven't been playing, but people will love these artists and what they can do.
Is there anything you would like to add to that, Dave?
Well, as Eugenia said, we have a long history and a good reputation for presenting the classics in classic ensembles. And this, the last couple of years, we've been stretching things a little bit, and this is an extra special season, I think. We've got such great artists and really unusual programming that we think folks will be really excited about.
How did this all come about, this series, the Clarion Concerts?
Well, the Clarion Concerts is quite old. It was started by Newell Jenkins and Jack Hurley. They had the Clarion Music Society in New York City in 1957. And Newell Jenkins, who specialized in the music of the Baroque period, studied extensively in Europe and there unearthed the music of Giovanni Battista Sammartini and many other of those people of the Baroque era. And he brought music back. And he decided that the world of America needed to hear that music. And he became worldwide for his early music concerts. And then when he stopped doing
the Leaf Peepers concert?
Yes. We changed the name back to the Clarion Concerts. And I was asked to take over, I think it's 5 years ago now, and to work. I took over from the wonderful violinist Sanford Allen, and I was thrown into the business of getting a lot of my friends from New York to come and play, and the concerts have been increasing with numbers of people. They are now well up to, I would say, 200 people coming to our concerts, and we have a wonderful board of directors, and we have a growing group of people who are coming to these concerts. So Dave, do you want to tell a little bit about what we're doing?
Well, as Eugenia said, we've really grown the concert series in the last couple of years. I think Eugenia's reputation has attracted a lot of folks to, you know, new audience members. And word has gotten around, I think, as our programming has become a bit more varied. And as Eugenia said, she's attracted some of her buddies. She lures them up to upstate in the Berkshires with, you know, beautiful fall colors and crazily receptive audiences and a relaxing weekend. So they seem to be willing to do it, and everybody's been having a great time. And over the last couple of years, we've sort of, while maintaining the basic central core of presenting the classics from early and Baroque music up through the centuries, we're stretching things out a bit more, and that's attracting new audiences.
All of this can be found if you go to the website clarionconcerts.com. You can find out the full list of shows and concerts that are coming up, and all these beautiful events that we've been talking about. I do want to spend some time talking about your book, which is coming out in November.
November 5th.
It is called Like Falling Through a Cloud. It is a memoir, but it is a lyrical memoir. It is beautiful. It's truly gorgeous. There's an essay or two in here as well, right?
I wouldn't call it an essay. The book is written in poetry.
Yes.
And the reason that happened is because I went, my daughters insisted that I get tested. They were saying, you're very forgetful, etc. And I was tested, and it was clear to me that I had a degree already of Alzheimer's. And
I think you just started penning a few thoughts, right, after the diagnosis?
Well, thank you for reminding me. yes, I did. I came home and I sat down at my desk, and I don't know why or how, but I picked up a pen and started writing. And what came out was all in poetry. Mm. There's a little bit of stuff that isn't poetry, but it just flowed. And I didn't show anyone except my younger daughter. After I had about 20 pages, I thought, gee, I don't know if this is anything. And she encouraged me to keep going.
How long ago was the diagnosis, roughly?
Two years ago.
2 years ago.
Two and a half, I guess.
And so once you start writing about it, it is the decision, I mean, obviously you do that for you, right? You write for yourself?
I absolutely wrote that for myself. I didn't know why it came out in poetry. I've written a lot of poetry.
Yes.
But for some reason, it just flowed.
And then the decision to share it with a larger audience and to talk about your diagnosis, is that a harder thing, a harder decision to come to?
Much harder decision to come to. And I wasn't quite sure how and why I needed to do it. People, friends, etc., read the manuscript when I had finished it, and they were all saying, wow, this is something. This is really special. Mm-hmm. I think what people find special about it is that it is, I do not see myself as as someone who's had a horrible thing happen. In fact, I feel very optimistic. I feel that I couldn't allow myself to sink into that feeling of, okay, here it comes, it's all over for me. I felt that I wanted to share with people the idea that when something awful like this happens, I just wanted to keep my spirits up, to find a way through all of it, like falling through a cloud, to clarity. I think that I went from the very first pages that I wrote, from that sense of, you know, what am I, how am I going to get through this, to a sense of happiness. And people who have read it are saying it's funny, it's hopeful, perhaps I could read a little bit of it.
I'd love you to. Thank you.
And each of these poems are one of a kind, I think. Marbles. Maybe mine are lost, or maybe they're rolling around in my head looking for a place to land, or maybe not. My daughters tell me to get tested. Tested for what, I ask, even though I know for what. But it's for what I don't want to know. So I let the marbles roll around in a swirl of distracting colors, because I don't want to listen to them, the daughters. Because if I hear them, I will be very afraid. And this mother cannot be that mother. Not ever.
Mm.
Never.
I'm struck by, we obviously hear so much about Alzheimer's disease, but we always hear it from a journalistic approach, we hear it from a physician approach, we hear from a caretaker approach. And because as you, the word you used is the awfulness of the disease, we don't hear from the person who is affected by it. So to have you talk about it seems very important.
Well, thank you. I feel that I'm sharing something. I feel that I want people to know that you can definitely make your life happy and useful, no matter what kind of a diagnosis you have had. And it could be, I feel, an important book.
When you, I guess one of the questions that I thought of as I was reading the book and I was preparing for this is there a, the first thing I thought of was, because I was looking at the concert series, you were part of that concert series. Does it have an impact on the music? Does it have an impact when you're playing?
I think it has deepened my love of music. It is my, it keeps me happy. I think that it's known that being able to do things like make music or dance or learn something new will help you, will help the effects of Alzheimer's diminish. And I only know for myself that I have been able to grow in certain ways that I can't even express, but I know I'm a different person, and I'm a person perhaps that really, I feel so grateful to be alive, to have my family, to be able, every morning is an amazement to me. And
how so? How is it an amazement?
Well, some mornings I wake up and I feel like my head is a empty coconut. I actually think that. And then if I wait long enough, it dribbles in and there's some kind of essence in there. And then I remember where I am. It takes me a bit of time sometimes to realize that I have certain chores that I have planned to do during the day. And if I wait long enough, I can bring those ideas into my head enough to go and do them. It is, I do wake up each morning feeling that I want to do things, make things happen, want to evolve. If there's a death sentence, you want to make the most that you have left. And nobody knows when they're going to have to pass through.
Right.
And it's quite possible, I'm told, that someone like me can live another 20, 30 years, depending on many different things. But I don't feel afraid. And I hope that people reading the book will find it funny, will find it enjoyable, will have a get a kick out of it, will maybe even learn something about it. But it has given me, it's been a great gift from somewhere that I was able to express myself.
When you have those moments where in waking up and that the coconut feels empty, are you worried that the essence won't be dribbling in at some point? Is that, you say you don't have fear, but I would think that would scare me, that what happened yesterday doesn't happen today.
Well, I sometimes wake up and I don't know why, but I'm not afraid. I wake up in the morning. It doesn't scare me to wake up and not know what I'm doing. Sometimes I exercise every morning, and during my exercise, I sometimes remember, oh yeah, you better remember you have to do this. I'm not good at writing it down, what my chores are.
Mm-hmm.
My husband helps me with that. But basically, I can still drive well.
Yeah.
I'm not at a stage that I fear it's going to get worse. But I know it will progress. I'm comfortable with the word that it is a disease that progresses.
Has it, or I guess how has it progressed over the last 2 years?
Oh, I am more forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me longer to remember what it is I want to achieve during the day. My husband is wonderfully helpful with reminding me what I need to
mm-hmm.
do. Also, the animals. We have two horses, and we have three dogs, and we are in the most beautiful part of Columbia County. And my days are in a beautiful place with extraordinary people. We live in a place where people are very communicating and helpful to each other. Having lived in New York City for so long, it's just almost diametrically opposite of what you feel sometimes in New York City. You feel alone, you feel, you know, where are you going, etc. In the country, there's something always good to do.
Let me ask you about the music again, because I am fascinated by this. You talk about a deeper connection with the music. And is that a, in listening to it, but in playing it and in performing it, that you are, does something else take over at that point when you're performing and say, okay, this is going to be the way it is, the way it always has been?
I feel it's going to be different every time.
And you want it that
and
way.
I want it to be different. I find that when I practice alone, which I most players do,
sure.
I find different ways to make a phrase. I find that I'm more creative within the way that I am making the music. I feel something so joyful in the, even when I think I'm playing not well at all, I find that I'm harder on myself. In other words, I don't let myself just keep going even when I've made mistakes. I feel very dedicated to the music in a sense, in a way that I wasn't before.
Are you playing with, do you have the music in front of you?
I do. I've always been a person who has had a lot of difficulty, and maybe it's connected to what I'm feeling now, but
yes.
I've never been good at memorizing, and it gave me so much angst to have to play without music that I remember asking an extraordinary pianist who played with the music. I asked him, why do you do that? And he said, because I can. I know how to read music. He said,
right.
It's what I do. And he encouraged me to, you know, don't use the music when you feel really good about it, but also just make sure that you know what you're playing.
And it's nice to have it there. I would like to talk just for a moment about the instrument itself of the flute and it being an extension of your love of that instrument and what it, the voice it gives you, what it allows you to say.
Anyone who's a wind player, who you know that the airstream is everything, and the muscles of the face for a wind instrument player is extremely important. And I find, and I've always been someone who is nervous before I play. I'm jealous of all those friends that I have who just, you know, it's not a problem for them. But, you know, the music itself is so extraordinary. You want to give it your all. You want to give it your best. And sometimes it's very easy, and other times getting on stage, even before I've had this diagnosis, it's just difficult.
But that difficulty, when do you know it's going to be okay? I mean, once you start playing, you're like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know, at my stage of the game, I've had many experiences.
Sure.
When I'm so surprised that I played easily and wonderfully, and other times when I'm roaring to get out there on the stage, it's not exactly what I had hoped for. So I think it's always variable.
And when you hear the applause?
I like it.
Yeah. Feels good.
Feels real good.
Because you know it's done.
That's it.
And you did your job.
Right.
And people enjoyed it.
Right, and nobody takes a hook anymore and pulls me off the stage.
The book is beautiful. The only downside is people have to wait a couple of weeks to read it. But it's
you can go to Amazon.
Yes, and it'll be out in November, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's like falling through a cloud, a lyrical memoir. It is from East End Press, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful book. Yo-Yo Ma said, Eugenia Zuckerman reminds us of the delicate balance between human fragility and resilience. A beautiful way to state that. We've been also talking, of course, about the Leaf Peeper series and the Clarion concerts. You can find out more about those performances taking place on September 15th and 21st, as well as October 12th and 26th, by going to clarionconcerts.com. Clarionconcerts.com. Dave Hall, thank you very much for being with us. And Eugenia Zuckerman, thank you very much for sharing with us. What a great privilege and delight to speak with you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.